Okay, we're picking up the Gemara Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We are three lines from the top, the words of Akum. So the Braisa mentioned that a lulav that is Akum, that a lulav that is curved, like a domela magal, that if it's curved like a sickle, it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara wants to clarify this, Amar Rava Lomena Lefanab, that this halacha, where the lulav is curved, is going to be pasul, as only when it's curved forward. But it's curved backwards, it's in a natural form, and therefore it shouldn't be pasul, it should be kosher. So lechora forward refers to the direction that is going to be away from the spine, towards the open side of the lulav, and backwards is going to refer to the direction that is towards the spine, and that's what Rav was telling us, that if it's in the natural way, it should not be a psul. Now the Gemara continues with Amar Rava. Rava also said, Hai lulava, that he said, Hai lulava, to sell like Bechad Chutza, Bal Mumu Pasul, that if you have a lulav that only has one row of leaves, according to Rashi, this means that all the leaves are on one side, and the other side, there are no leaves whatsoever. That's a Bal Mumu Pasul, that's considered like a blemished lulav, and that should invalidate the lulav. And the Rambam, he has the different pairs. The Rambam writes that Rav is referring to lulav with leaves that have leaves on both sides, but the leaves themselves are single ones and they're not folded over double leaves. That's the issue according to the Rambam. And there's a third shita that explains that over here is a reference to a lulav that has normal leaves, but there's a single leaf along the length of the spine on each side. That's how someone explained, quoted, the Rush explains like that. So the Shulchan Aruch is actually machmir for all three shitas. All three of these, he's machmir to assume that we assume that pasul, because we don't know. That we assume that, I guess, whatever, they're all right, that they're all a blemish, and therefore all lulav that look like any of these three things, that is going to be an issue. Now, the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah said, Nifritsu alav, if the leaves were torn, then the lulav is going to be pasul. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, Nifritsu David ke chufaya. Torn, in this reference, means that it's similar to a broom. That's a chufaya is a broom. And Rashi explains that the leaves were completely torn apart from the spine, and you had to tie it back like in a broom like fashion. Nifredu efrude efrude. What does it mean? Separated? That the leaves were spread apart. That they're fully attached to the spine, but they're spread over like branches of a tree. That is going to be the problem of the case of nifredu. That the case that they're so open on the top that they're not remotely close to each other. So the Gemara says, "By Rav Papa, Rav Papa had a question. Nichlaka hatiomes mahu? If the leaf is going to split into the two, what is going to be the halacha?" That's also a shayla over here. How much of the tiomes and what exactly the tiomes is involved over here? Everyone understands the tiomes is the top, the middle part of the lulav, the middle thing that everyone looks for is at the tip. So according to Rashi, if that is is split all the way down, that's going to be the problem. That's how Rashi explains it. Others, the Ramban wants to explain, and I think the Ran says like this also. Sorry, I think it's the Ritva and the Ran. The Ritva, not the Ramban. I think it's the Ritva and the Ran. They explain, by the way, I just meant to mention, if you have pictures of Ari Kedai, the Kol Lashon ones in Eretz Yisrael, again, I don't know if they came to America yet, but the Ozvader has another one also that's very good. That they're very, very helpful over here explaining, they show pictures of according to all the Rishonim, and they're very much helpful for me. I'm sure they'd be helpful for you guys if you have a chance to look at them. So if Papa is discussing according to the Ritva and the Ran, he's talking about a case where the spine is totally there, but the majority of the tiomas, the middle leaf, the middle twin leaf, is split open. So this is more machmir. So that's not just according to Rashi split all the way down, but this is just the majority. And there's even a third sheet with the Rif and the Rambam. They explain it's not talking about the tiomas means it doesn't mean the middle leaf at all. It's referring to of every double folded part of the lulav, meaning a case where the majority of the lulav is split open on the sides. That's not necessarily the middle one, but the majority on the sides. That's what the Rif and the Rambam understand over here. So he wonders what's the halacha. So Gemara says Tashma. So let's bring a proof. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi nitla hatiomes pasul. If the tiomes, the twin leaf, was removed, then it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara says if it's removed, it's pasul. So lechora maybe my love who didn't look at that should be the same halacha. If it's split, just like if it's missing it, it should be pasul. So too, the chora, the same would be too if it's split. So the Gemara says no, lo nit la shayni daha chaser lei, that you can explain that if it's removed, it's different because it's full chaser. We're going to get into that more later. On Lamed Dalet, the Gemara is going to discuss chaser. Chaser is not just a lack of hider, but it's actually you're fundamentally missing part and parcel of the dalet minim. So that's why it's pasul. Nothing to do with a split lulav. So therefore, we don't have a raya that it's pasul. So where's the ikat amri? So someone would say, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon Levi, nechlagat tiomes nasek yipishnil tiomes upasol. That it's just simply Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Shimon Levi that if the top twin leaf was split, it's going to be as if it's removed and it's going to be pasol. We actually paskin like this ikud amri. You might be familiar with that. That's what we're always looking on the top to make sure it's not split over there. And the halacha is really only if the majority of the leaves are split, that's going to be, the Shulchan Aruch actually rules like the Rif of the Rambam. The Rama, though, he quotes the Ran and Paskins like the, Ran. I think even Sfarnim, I think, are Machmer, at least the Chachila, for the Ran. And, that's why we always check the middle part to have no split whatsoever, because, if it's, we're afraid that if it's a little bit, it's gonna get more, and so that's why we always check the middle part. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda says that if the leaves were separated, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to tie them together on the top. So the Gemara says, Tanya, that's what you have to tie them together on the top, rather. Tanya, that we learn in Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bashim Rabbi Tarfon, we quoted this on yesterday's daf, because it says kapos tomorrow. And Kapos Tamarim is Kafus. We can have a drasha based on the fact that we're going to go, like, I think it's Yeshim Lamasoras, that the way that it's pronounced, is, you can say it as, or maybe Yeshim Lamikra, I always get confused between two, but based on that drasha that we explain it, that the Kapos, we don't know how to vowelize it, so then if you're going to teach us Kapos over here, means that it is Kafus that is tied up. So that if the teaching us that the lulav has to be closed, if it was spread apart, you have to tie it together. That's what the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is, that you would have to do that. So the Gemara now says, what is kapos tamarim? Marmalei Ravina Ravashi, my dai kapos tamarim the lulav. How do I know that kapos tamarim is what we refer to as the lulav, the part of the palm branch which is part closer to the spine, the thing that we need to call a lulav? Maybe ema charusa. Maybe it's talking about a hardened branch. Now the question over here is, what does that mean? We have a halacha lemosh Rabbi Sina. We have a masorah. We have a tradition. What exactly is the lulav? So the Gemara seemingly is wondering over here is that is just, can we figure it out based on the description in Pesukim? And that halacha, can we just figure it out from that alone? Of avada, yeah, of course we know what a lulav is, because this is what my father had, my grandfather had, my great grandfather, and we assume that mesorah went all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why we all know what a lulav is. But we're just wondering, can from the sukkim, can we derive what exactly is a lulav over here? So the Gemara says, ba'ina. So the Gemara says. So then again, maybe ma'akavos tamar lulav. How do I know it's a lulav? Ima charusa. Maybe it's part of the hardened part of the branch, and that's what the Gemara is wondering. Maybe you could have assumed that that's part of it. If you learn it straight out from the sukkim, maybe that's what you would have come with, the harder part of the branch. So the Gemara says, no, you can't say that part, because baina kafos velika, it has to be tied together, and you don't have that in the hardened part of the branch. That l'chora we see from here that even the Tanakama, who says that l'chora that you don't require to tie the leaves on the top, he's going to agree that they have to be ra'oi to be tied. L'chora, because he's going to agree that kapos means kapos, that it has to be fit to be tied together. It's a shayla. What do you mean? If we don't hold it, it really needs to be like that. How does it have to be fit like that? L'chora, we're assuming that's something that's still ma'akev. It has to be at least fit to it, fit to be tied together. So that's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, ema afusa. Maybe it's referring to the hard part of the palm tree. If you ever see a palm tree, right, in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of them, the bottom part, not the green part, but the part that's like more brownish. So referring to that part, the heart, maybe that's a part that you could use that as your yotze, as with your lulav. So Gemara says, no, kapos michal te'ika parod. If it's tied up, it implies it has a possibility to be separated. V'hai kapos ve'omei le'olam. This bottom part is so strong, it never opens up. It's always tied up. So therefore, the chor, that can't be what the psukim are talking about. Ve'ema kufra, but maybe we're talking about the shoots of the palm tree. This isn't the green part, but more the yellowish, brownish part of the palm tree. Maybe referring to that part, that's what we're talking about over here. That's the pasuk referring to. It's beginning to harden over there, and it's bent back and tied to it, and that would be that would have the fulfillment of the requirement of kapos, of tied up. So the Gemara says, because kapos ksiv, it's written kapos without the letter vav, which is seemingly in a singular form, and so since it's in the singular form, then we can learn out that this would not be the part of the bottom over here, because there's two of them. So the Gemara says ve'ima chada. So maybe you'll say you take, instead of taking one cluster of these yellowish grape things, instead of taking multiple, take one cluster, and then it would be kapos in the singular, just like you avoided your problem of having it in the plural, of having more than one. So the Gemara says lahu kaf karele. No, we wouldn't call that kapos. The pasuk would refer to it as kaf. So when the Torah says kapos, the Chora wants to teach you kapos means tied up, meaning that the thing was spread apart and you should tie it together, and that can only refer to the lulav, as Rashi explains, that's only referencing the lulav and nothing else. Okay, so we've just figured out what the lulav is. Now, tzinia harbazo ksher. What is this tzinia harbazo? So Rashi explained that it's the branches of the palms of a mountain that's literally very strong, and they apparently only have a very, very few leaves, which are, they're very wide, they're widely spaced from the the shidra from the spine of the lulav, and they're also very short. So that's why the part of the spine is going to be open. That's why we call it Tzinar Barzel, and that's how Rashi explains it. So Bari says, though, he qualifies that when the Mishnah said that this is kosher, right? Loshenu elosha rosho zemagia latzadi karosho zeh. That since there are very few leaves, the bottom of each set of leaves, though, has to reach the top of the next part. That it has to reach the tip. The tip of one leaf has to reach the bottom part of the next leaf that you're using. Aval, again, picture is very helpful. Aval ein rosho so zemagia latzadi karosho basol. If the tip of this leaf is not reaching the next leaf, according to Abaye, this is going to be puzzle. It's going to not going to be kosher. So the Gemara brings a raya for Abaye. Tanya namihach. We have a brisa that supports Abaye. Tzine har barzel psula. One brisa says tzine barzel are puzzle. But wait a second. Our Mishnah says explicitly that it's kshira, but it's not kshira. Lechora, the brace is contradicting the Mishnah, so the Gemara answers no. Elishma minam kabaye must be that the brace is not disagreeing with Abaye. When the tip of the reach of the tip of the lulav does not reach the tip of the branch, rather doesn't reach the next set of leaves, that's what the brace is referring to. That's when it's psula, and the Mishnah, it says it's kasher, is going to be when it does reach it, and that's exactly as Abaye said. Elishma minam, that's a good proof. Lechora, this stira is going to be answered very nicely according to Abaye. Now the Gemara says maybe a different answer. Sorry, not a different answer, but just a different formulation how this was done. It wasn't Abaye said his halacha, and we bring a proof from the steer and the brace and the Mishnah. Rather, it was just formulated as a question in the base Midrash. They asked a question from the brace and the Mishnah. Tanan Tzinehar Barzel Kasher. Our Mishnah says that these Tzinehar Barzel, the iron from the literally strong mountains, those are going to be kasher for the lula of Atanip Sula. But wait a second, the brace says that it's basel. So which is it? So Abaye answers, Barzel Kasher, Kanshroshu Shalosu Magilas Adi Karshu. And this version is just answering a stira between the Mishnah and Breisa, explaining Allah Chalmaisa. The Breisa says it's possible when the bottom set of leaves, the tip of the bottom set, is not reaching the top of the next set of leaves. That's when it's possible. However, if it does reach it, that's what the Mishnah says. That's what would be kosher. So now we've answered the question based on the steer and the Mishnah. So now the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Merim and Amar Shimon Levi, v'Amar Le Tana Rav Merim b'Shimon Rav Yochanan and Zakai Shtei Tmaros Yesh BeGei Ben Hinnom." There are two palms in Gei Ben Hinnom. There, Gei Ben Hinnom is the area, right? We know where it is now, Bezman Hazeh. It's right outside of the old city of Jerusalem. We pass it a lot of times. That's where the valley of Gei Ben Hinnom was there, because that's where people would. That's the entrance to Genim, the literal to hell. So the Ola Asher Bneim and the smoke rising between them. Vezel Shnei Tzinar Barzel Ksheros. These palms, those are the palms that the Tzinar Barzel Kosher. Vezel Pischa Shal Genim. This is also the entrance to Gehenim, and that's the Gemara discusses. The Rishonim, I think, I don't remember the Gemara explicitly over there. And Erev discusses, well, why over there is it specifically the entrance to Gehenim? Because that's where the people do of Avodas Hamolech, where they would sacrifice their children and kill their children, burn them to their Avodah Zarah, and then obviously angers Hashem. That's the entrance for Gehenna, right outside Yerushalayim. So that's a very interesting thing. So now the Gemara continues. The Mishnah says, "Lulav sheish bo shel tefachim, lulav has length of three tefachim, is going to be kosher. It's kedei lanayna, but enough to wave it is going to be kosher." So the Gemara qualifies, not really three tefachim, it's a little bit more than that. Amar vidamar Shmuel, shir hadas v'arava shlosha. The minimum shir of a hadas and a ravos, those are three tefachim. However, lulav arba, the lulav has to be four tefachim. Kedeshia lulav yotzeim and hadas tefach. A lulav has to be taller than the hadas a tefach. Since the lulav is naturally growing taller, it's fitting that it should be taller when they're held together as well. So therefore, the lulav has to be a tefach taller. So there is no maximum shear for lulav. However, the lulav has to be a tefach above the height of the hadasim. Even if the hadasim are longer than two tefachim, your lulav still has to be taller than that. I think that might even be makivim d'yevet. That's makar din. It really has to be taller than hadasim. So the Gemara quotes a machlokas though. That's Rabbi Parnach, Rabbi Yochanan. That was Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan says shidro shulul tarach shiyamin hadas tefach. Note the spine of the lulav has to extend above the hadas tefach. So that meaning not the leaves aren't included in this. That the core of the spine, which Rashi points out, the leaves of the branch have to extend a tefach above the hadas. So lechora maybe the Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan are mentioning the hadasim. Not the Aravos. Why is it mentioned? It has to be taller than the Aravos as well. Why doesn't it have to be taller? Why doesn't the Gemara mention it has to be taller than the Hadasim ve'Aravos or the Aravos? So maybe the Gemara is alluding to the Minug that many have. The Ramah already quotes this that the Hadasim are tall. We put the Hadasim taller than the Aravos. The Hadasim should be taller when you're putting them together. Hadasim should be taller than the Aravos. So maybe that's referring to it has to be tefach taller than the Hadasim, because we know that Hadasim are already going to be taller than the Aravos. That's why the Gemara is not mentioning the Aravos, because we know that Hadasim are going to be taller. That's why it's mentioning the Hadasim over here. Interesting how the Chorin make point out. So now the Gemara continues. So again, so that's a machlokas of Yochanan and And Shmuel. The Gemara has a question on both of them. Tanan, based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Lulav shesh bo tshol tvachim kadei lanei abo kosher. The lulav has length of three tvachim is enough to wave it, it's going to be kosher. So it doesn't need, the lulav l'chora could be the same size of the hadassim and the ravos, and it could be three tvachim, not four tvachim. So the Gemara says, Ema uchidei lanei abo kosher. That the Mishnah means to say that a lulav has lulav three tvachim and also long enough to wave it, and that is going to be above that level of three tvachim, and it has to be actually waved, and that's going to be a shear that's bigger than that, that's really four tvachim. That's a shayla, the Achronim asked that already. I think that Menezer deals with this, and other Achronim asked this question, but what do you mean? We paskin that Be'etzem, that when lulav is the moment you pick keban the lashon agibay of nafikbay, the moment you pick it up, I think that's lashon gemara. The moment you pick it up, you're going to be yotze. We'll get to that. The gemara is going to mention the moment you pick it up, you're going to be yotze. So I don't really need it. Shaking it is not ma'akiv. So why is it over here that shaking it over here is ma'akiv for the shear of the minimum shear of four tefachim? So the Avnei Nezer, I think, wants to bring down the concept of kol sheroy labia in bila ma'akevus bo, kol sheinroy labia in bila ma'akevus bo, that there's a concept that something has to be something needs to be roy sometimes even for something that's not ma'akev. And here also there's that concept that the has to be roy fitting for shaking it, even though shaking it, if you didn't shake it, and you've still fulfilled your mitzvah. That's a concept that we discussed about with the mincha and the souls. Not getting into the source for that, but that's an interesting question that Abinazer addresses. Now the Gemara continues. So market islay. So again, that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are going to explain it, whether that this extra tefach has to be from the spine or can even be from the leaves. That's the machlokas Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan. Now the Gemara is a proof for Shmuel and a question Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says Tashma. We could bring a proof for Shmuel from the Braisa. Shir Hadas or Rava Shlosha. The measure of Hadas and Lulav is three tvachim. The Lulav Arba and the Lulav has to be four tvachim. My love, Bahadel and Lechora, that the Braisa is seemingly including in the measure, is its leaves. Lechora like Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, Lulav Bale, no, the measure is a Lulav without the leaves. So Rabbi Yochanan just says that Braisa is not not necessarily a raya for Shmuel, and you can assume that it's referring to the ikar point, the body of the lulav, and not the leaves of the lulav. And you don't have a proof from the brisa. Now the Gemara says gufa. Let's go back to analyze the brisa. Shir hadas harava shlosh of the lulav arba. The minimum shear of the hadas and the rava is three tvachim, and the lulav is four tvachim. Rabbi Tarfon says be'ama bas chamisha tvachim. We're discussing over here an ama that is of five tvachim. Usually, when you measure an amma, it's going to be an amma of six tvachim. So here, we're using the amma of five tvachim. L'chora, each tefach is going to then be bigger. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Sharele Marele Rabbi Tarfon. So Rava says, Hashem should forgive Rabbi Tarfon, because Hashta Avos Shloshim Lamashkichinen. You're going to have a hadas with three, the Avos literally means that it has to be, have three leaves together. I think the English word is plated. It has to be three together. So three leaves together on each one. They have to be braided. Bas Chamish Mibai, so is going to tell me that it has to be of the bigger shear? You're going to tell me it has to be bigger shear that has to be plated, it has to be the bigger shear has to be braided on that end. Lechora, Rabbi Tarfon is going to be a fulfillment that's very very hard to be mekayim. So the Gemara says, "Ki Aser Rav Dimi." Rav Dimi came to Bavel. He said that he was explaining Rabbi Tarfon. He says the hadas only has to be three tefachim long, but these three tefachim are measured with the amma five tefachim, amma bas shisha tefachim, asosa bas chamisha. So you measure a six tefach amma and divide it into five equal parts. Simen shlosha lahadas, and take three of these parts, and you'll have the shear of a hadas. So then, if you have a five tefach amma, and then you're having it of the three tefachim, so then what you're going to have by that is that you're going to have 3/5 of an amma. According to the Tanna Kamma, you have a sender tefach is going to be 3/6 of an amma. So then, according to this, Rabbi Tarfon is 3/5 versus 3/6. Rabbi Tarfon is not going to be that much bigger. It is a chumra, but it's only going to be from 3/5 to 3/6. It's much smaller. That's not barely any bigger. That's not a major chumra that is so hard to attain. That's what Rav Dimi explains Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, and Amabas Shishat Vachim Asosa Bas Chamishat Semen Shoshal Hadas. You had three for the Hadas, we just explained. Vashar Lulav, and additional part is going to be for the Lulav, meaning that the Tefach of a Lulav has to extend a bit larger, so then it's going to be 1/5 of an Amma bigger. So that's the Chorah, what's going to be according to that. So the Gemara says, Kama Havulah, so according to every Tarfon, how long in the Hadas and the Rava? The Chumshev, it's going to be 3 3/5 of the Tefachim, because if the standard six Tefach Amma is divided into five equal parts, each one is going to be 1 1/5. If you have 3 1 1/5 tefachs, what you're going to come out with 3 3/5. That's a basic math. So So Gemara says, but wait a second. So the kasha the Shmuel, the Shmuel. That lechor then we have a stira in the psakim of Shmuel because Hacham Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Shir Hadas Rav Shlosha. Shmuel said that the shirim of the Hadasim and the Ravos are three tvachim, and that's the shir of the Hadasim and the Ravos. However, Hasam Amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Lacha Ki Rabbi Tarfon. Rav Huna said in the name of Shmuel that Alacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. So what should come out based on this answer of Rav Dimi? It should come out that it should be three and three fifths tvachim. It should be bigger than just three tvachim. It has to be a little bit bigger. It has to be three fifths bigger than that. So three and three fifths, another three fifths of a tafach bigger than that, not three fifths total. So the Gemara says, lo dak that Shmuel wasn't being, he wasn't being so accurate, and he was rounding off. So the Gemara says, we had this before. What do you mean? You can only say that he was rounding off when it's going to be lechumra. Imar damina lo dak, when could we assume that person is going to not be so accurate in his lashon and just round off? Is lechumra when he's going to round off? So okay, so say to be a little bit more machmir and then round up. However, lakula miyamin lodak, but here it's going to lead to a leniency because again, as we mentioned, it should be 3 3/5 according to Rabbi Tarfon. 3 3/5 of a tefach is the shear of the minimum shear of the hadasim and ravos. Whereas according to Shmuel, it's 3 tefachim, so he's being more makel. He can't say that he's rounding down because according to Rabbi Tarfon, that's possible. It can't be that that's what Shmuel said. So the Gemara says you're right. Kiasa ravin amar ama bas chamisha tefachim asa osa shisha. So he said Rabbi Tarfon mentioned the 5 of tefach ama. He meant that it's an ama only of 5 tefachim divided to 6 equal parts. So as we mentioned before, it'd be similar to what we said before, that you're going to have each tefach is going to be 5/6 of the common tefach. So then what do you have? Tzemen shlosh ladas of these 5/6 of a tefach, you're going to have the hadasim and the rabos vashar lelulav. So what comes out over here is according to Rabbi Tarfon, we're going to have an ama 5 tefachim is going to measure half of a 5 tefach ama. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, is actually going to be nam nekula. Half of a 5 tefach ama is 2.5 tefachim, whereas the Tanakama is going to say 3 tefachim vashar lulav, and the additional part is the lulav, meaning that the extra tefach of a lulav extends above the hadas. It also can use a small tefach. It's going to be a little bit bigger than the 2.5 tefachim. That's what comes out according to Rabbi Tarfon, and is now a kula. So the Gemara says, kama havalu, so how long are the hadasim and the ravos based on this? Trayopag was mentioned, that's going to be half of 5 tefachim ama is going to be 2.5. So kasha the Shmuel Shmuel. But wait a second, we didn't answer the question though. Now, one Rabbi Tarfon's coming out that it has to be 2.5 tefachim, whereas the Tanakama, or the way we just understood B'Shmuel, was it has to be 3 tefachim. So now there's a stira in Shmuel's psakim. So that we answer no. Now we can answer Lodak. Now we can answer Shmuel wasn't being accurate. He was rounding up. He wasn't being so precise. He was telling us to round up to 3 tefachim. And that means that he's being machmer. Really, maker din, the shear is 2.5 tefachim. But Shmuel was just rounding up lechumra and telling us it should be 3 full 3 tefachim. Dam Rav Huna Amar Shmuel Lacha Rabbi Tarfon. As Rav Huna said, the name of Shmuel, the Lacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. It's interesting because the Gemara over here doesn't quote any machlokas with Shmuel's understanding that the halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon, but the Rambam and the Rif, they both paskin that it has to be the minimum of 3 tefachim. So lechora, that's more than the Gemara. The Gemara said that it really has to be 2.5. So the Ritzva explains that the Rif and the Rambam are following Shmuel's example that you're rounding off lechumra, and that's how we paskin that. It should really be 3 tefachim. The Ramah says, the minhag is to follow 3 tefachim. And really, lechora, it should come out that if it was 2.5 tefachim, maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. So either way, so the Gemara says, So ladak by no lechumra ladak. Amar Rav Huna Shmuel Rabbi Tarfon. The halacha is going to follow out. Rabbi Tarfon just mentioned that it should really be. It's really 3 tefachim. It's really 2.5 tefachim. And Shmuel is rounding up to the total of 3 tefachim. Now the Mishnah is going to move on to the hadasim. And then we're going to the next Mishnah to discuss the ravos. So we have the hadasim. Hadasim agazal v'yavesh pasul. Just like with regards to a stolen lulav. So too hadas that's stolen is going to be pasul. So too when you have hadas that is dried out, it's also going to be pasul. We have the same achlokas over here between the Raven and Tosos we mentioned with regards to a hadasim. The Tosos says that dry over here means that the leaves can crumble with one's nail. Raven says it has to be totally lose its greenness, but the Rachmanim points out that over here the Raven actually becomes a chumra because it'll be according to Tosos is gather. Sorry, Tosos will be a chumra over here that it'll lose its gather. It'll become softer in that gather of Tosos and become pusil earlier than the Raven. So here I think we're machmir. For the Tosos as well, that it should be the earlier stage of what would be called dried out should be pasul. Shel Asherah v'shel Nidachas pasul, similar from Asherah and from the Iran Nidachas is going to be pasul. As I mentioned earlier, the same sul. Niktam Rosho, if the top of the hadasim was cut off, is referring to the top of the stem, not to the leaves, rather the top of the stem is cut off. The Mishnah tells us it's going to be pasul as well. Nifritzu alav, or if its leaves were torn. Osha anav merubos me'alav, or if you have more berries than its leaf. Apparently, I've never seen a hadasim with berries on. on them, but apparently they grow berries on them. So if they have berries on them and there's more than its leaves, puzzle, that's going to be puzzle. Vimeta kasher. However, if you take off the berries, then it's going to be kasher. However, the Mishnah ends off, but you can't do that on Yontav. And the Rishonim explained, I think the Duran explains, that the reason is because that's going to be tikkun mana, you're going to be fixing it, and that's why it's asr on Yomtov, because you already removed it from the tree, so the Chor is just taking it off. The Chor won't be an issue of Kotzer, but that's why it's tikkun mana, that's why the issue of here. Now the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Tanar, Rabbanu, Udana, Braisa, enough eight arvos, if you have a shoot that is eight avos, that is braided, that has the three little leaves on each of its branches. And where's the Hadas? That must be the Hadas, literally translated as the myrtle tree, which one of those things that you don't know what it means in English, but that's what it's translated as, the myrtle trees. And where's the Imazisa? But maybe it's referring to an olive branch. Again, similar question to what we had before. We know the Masorah, what are Hadasim are supposed to be. We know what it should be. We're just asking in Psukim, maybe this should describe an olive tree. That's what we're asking over here, this theoretical question. So the Gemara says, no, but in an avos velika, a olive tree wouldn't fit the requirements because an olive tree doesn't have the three braids. It doesn't have the idea of being plaited, and that's going to be, you don't have that with regards to an olive tree. The Gemara says ve'ema dulva, but maybe we're referring to a chestnut tree. That's what Rashi explains. The Tosafot disagrees. What goes Rashi is that said that maybe it's going to be a chestnut branch. The Gemara says no, but in an enough of chofin is a velika. When regards to a chestnut branch, we assume that the shoots have to cover the branches, and that you don't have when it comes to a chestnut branch over there. You don't buy a chestnut branch. The leaves of a chestnut tree, they are braided, but they're not dense enough to completely cover the branches. That's how Rashi explains the concept of the problem with the chestnut. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema hirduf." Maybe it should be a hirduf. It's interesting. We don't really know what a hirduf is. Rashi just describes it as something that's braided leaves. So it's something like that. That was also the Rishon pointed out. The hirduf was the thing that Moshe used to sweeten the waters of Marah. So whatever this hirduf was, that's what this tree over here. The Gemara says that no, Amar Abaye darchei dechanam leka. A hirduf is apparently very thorny and very uncomfortable to touch. So it can't be that it would be something that's so unpleasant. Rava Mar Mahacha. So Rava says, no, Mahacha Emes Veshalom Ahevu. Rava says that you love truth and peace, and that referring to that's a pasuk of Zechariah, and the hirduf doesn't fulfill that because the hirduf apparently is poisonous for animals. So if you're holding poison, the animals aren't going to want to be near you, and it's not pleasant to be around everything. Even the even animals should be pleasant with you. So that's not emes v'shalom v'ahevu. Now the Gemara continues regarding to the halachas of a hadas. Kalua kimin klia v'dome l'shal shelis. If when it comes to the fact that we're discussing the hadasim, that they have to be plaited like a braid and similar to a chain. That's what the myrtle tree is. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaakov, Omer, Anaf Eitavos, Eit Shetam Eitzo Opirio Shava, the tree that the wood and the fruit taste alike. Havomer Zadas, and that's the reference to the myrtle tree. That's a very big question that the Ritva asked over here. Chassam Sofer asked this also. I don't know if he saw this Ritva, because Ritva already dealt with this. He said, what do you mean? That's the Gemara's going to have the drusha that that's the famous thing about the Esrog. The Esrog is the Tam Eitzo Opirio Shava, that the wood and the fruit is like that the outside and the Esrog and the taste and the smell are similar. So how are you describing this as the Hadassim? The Ritva Kedikaf wants to change the gears around. The Chassam Sofer didn't have this Ritva that changes the gears, so he was afraid to. So the Chassam Sofer had all fancy answer to answer this with a very difficult Gemara over here. So the Gemara quotes Tana. We learn in a Braisa, eight avos kasher, that a twig that is plated is going to be kasher. V'she'inu avos pasul, that it's not, it doesn't have the three leaves, it's going to be pasul. Heichi dami avos, so what is it that it's going to be? It has the three leaves. Amar Rav Yehuda, v'hude kaimit tfasa tfasa tarpe bikina. The leaves stand in clusters of three at the base. That's what's going to be kasher. That each one has to have three. That means that each bud has to have the full three leaves. I think that's one of the hardest things to find, is a fully kosher hadas. Everyone's so makbid on looking at the srogim and the hadasim or something. You have to really check and make sure that you find the very good hadasim as well. People just buy the standard ones. I don't know. That is something that needs to come out over here. The Gemara says, Rav Kana, marafilu trei v'chad. Rav Kana says, even if they have pairs and the third one's overlapping, then it's also going to be considered kosher. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha, b'ri d'Rava, mehadra trei v'chad. Rav Acha, son of Rava, his Rebbe was Rav Kahana. He specifically used to look for two and one, halav enough of Gemara Rav Kahana, to show that the Halacha follows Rav Kahana, and he's following his Rebbe, even though it was a Kula, he wanted to show everybody that he follows the Kula of Rav Kahana. So the Gemara says that there's machlokas about this. Amar Lar Mar Mir Lar Vashi, or Mimar says to Rav Ashi, That when you have the 2-in-1, he used to call it a shota. Someone that is like mentally not stable. The same thing when it looks uneven, and that's not good. So lacha follows amimar that this type of hadas is problematic. It really need to be three leave together, and that's the whole thing. Really, three for the whole shear of gimel tefachim, they have to be fully intact. Gemara says Tanu Rabbanu, we learn a brisa. Nishu rov alav nisharab miut. If the majority of the leaves of the hadas fell off, and you only have a small amount left, kosher, it's going to be kosher vache avoso kayemes, provided that you still have the appearance still looks like it's plated on all three sides. So Gemara says ha gufa kasha lechora, this is a stira minei bay. That on the one hand it says amart nishru v'alav kasher, that if you say the majority of the leaves are the hadas fell off, it's going to be kasher v'ad tanya v'vachet avosu kayemes. Then you tell us that it has to look like it is plated. It has the three leaves on each one. You're not going to hide that. Given the nesra l'hu tray, since even two out of every cluster fell off, avos heichem mishkacha, it doesn't look like it's a shell. It doesn't have like look like it has a three. It doesn't look like it's plated. It has the braided. It has the three leaves growing from each bud. So the Gemara answers Rabbi mishkacha le can be found when ba'asa mitzray b'di. That's the Shiloh. What does it mean? Asov here. Rashi has two interpretations. First, that it's by the border, and literally a border one that it's there. They have a lot of leaves. So even the Kaimet Shiva Bekanakin, Rashi gives another example, the ones from Egypt. Either way, it was something they have sometimes even seven at each bud growing, at each base is seven of them. And Rashi Arba Pashulit Flasa, so when that four of them are left, that's the majority, there's still three remaining. And that's what it means that it still looks like, and the Azovad Shirena, that it looks like it is still plated, but that's what it meant in the Braisa. Okay, Bez Hashem will pick up with Amar Abaye in tomorrow's stuff.